This is the first section, which is we're going to spend most of our time discussing the things that are most verifiable. About aspect is that even the medical professionals who are distributing the vaccine for it can't get the story straight. So if you get the vaccine, are you immune to the virus? No, you're not. In every other case, with the measles, the mumps, chickenpox even, after you get the virus or after you've been exposed to it, your body develops an immune response to it and you're immune to it. But no, not with a coronavirus. After you get the vaccine, you can still get coronavirus. And then you still have to wear a mask too, because you still might be transmitting the virus. And so this is these are already bizarre characteristics of a vaccine and a virus that have never happened before in human history. And on top of that, is the manufacturer liable if you are harmed by taking the vaccine? No, they're not. They're completely, they can inject you with whatever they want to. They call it a vaccine. They're not liable in any way whatsoever. These are absolutely verifiable facts of the official story for what coronavirus is. Vaccine doesn't make you immune. You can still transmit it after you have the vaccine, and no one is liable if the vaccine messes up your body or your life. And the as the meme says, the people who are injecting you with it are just following orders, and very frequently they're being paid to do so and making a lot of money for doing so. So is there even an approved vaccine by the FDA for the coronavirus? And there is not. This is another completely verifiable fact. The FDA has not approved any of the vaccines for you, and nor has it gone through any testing that all the other vaccines or some of the other vaccines have gone through, or any of the other medicines. There's just no testing. It's simply somebody says something that somebody says is a vaccine. The government, CDC, and the FDA have not put any stamp or check mark of approval on this. Let's talk about the rate of hospitalizations for influenza. It's another glaring contradiction in the entire pandemic story. There were 400,000 hospitalizations and 22,000 deaths for influenza in 2019, but in 2020 there were only 165 hospitalizations, which this is a glaring fact that so the only explanation for this is that in 2020, what we know as the flu simply became called the coronavirus. There is no other explanation, and this is completely verifiable. It's not contested. Well, let's look at the mortality rates between the year 2018 and the year 2020. In 2018, there were 867 deaths per 100,000 population. And in 2020, there were 828 deaths per 100,000 population. A completely verifiable fact is that the death rate for this giant pandemic actually went down a little bit from year to year. I mean, that I have to be the one reporting these things is just astounding to me. If this was a deadly global pandemic, bodies would be piling up in third world countries that have none of this sanitation that we have or social distancing. But yeah, in Africa, there are essentially no pandemic deaths. This is a glaring discrepancy that for some reason this mass viral panic is only happening in Europe and the United States. This is a conclusion from a scientific study, of which there are many now. What is the efficacy of wearing a face mask as a preventative intervention for COVID-19? The answer is none. The scientific studies have shown that that it does not help in any way to prevent the transmission of the virus. And on top of that, there are numerous other symptoms you can get from wearing the mask that are equal to or worse than getting coronavirus. Hypoxia, hypercapnia, shortness of breath, increased acidity and toxicity, activation of fear and stress response. And all of this like rolls together with the overall panic. When you're wearing the mask, you feel just worse. You feel panicky. It has a psychosomatic effect on you that a lot of people are clearly experiencing. What about the coronavirus test? If you test positive, that means you've got it, right? Turns out, no. There is a chance, not even a small chance, a chance that the positive result means that you have antibodies from an infection with a virus from the same family of viruses, such as the one that causes the common cold. And this is from the CDC website, which means that all the people who took a test and said that they were positive from it, all that really means is that they, at some point in time, had some kind of thing that was like the flu or the common cold. These are glaring contradictions. It's the official story that if you get test positive, you have the pandemic. These are from the most credible sites that there are. Someone has even remarked that in 2020 was the year that you became a conspiracy theorist if you quoted the CDC website. That's how far we've come. And the people who are panicking are, of course, saying trust the science. The absurdity is just off the charts. Here are another 10 or so studies regarding wearing masks. And if the mask works, there is little evidence to support the efficacy of face masks to reduce the risk of infection. Respiratory acidosis develops when air inhaled into and exhaled from the lungs does not adequately exchange between the carbon dioxide from the body and oxygen from the air. Most healthcare workers develop de novo PPE, such as N95 masks, associated headaches, or exacerbation of the pre-existing headache disorders. So people wearing these masks getting headaches and having trouble getting oxygen, which is also it's not going to help you with a lung virus. And also face mask use in healthcare workers has not been demonstrated to provide benefit in terms of cold symptoms or getting colds. You can look up all these articles here, ACP journals, Medical News Today, Jamana Network. These aren't kooky websites. These are mainstream medical science. So if there were a pandemic or a pandemic virus going on, and this virus is everywhere, we all need to be afraid of it all the time, even if you're standing outside alone where you need to wear a mask, we would find this virus all over the place in public transportation. So they looked for all these COVID variants in the London subways, buses, and stations, and none were found. It didn't find anything. So in Ireland, they were being told that there were 1,700 deaths from the coronavirus. So some people looked into that, and it turns out all but 92 of those deaths were what they're calling comorbidities. Like they died of something, and then later they tested positive for the virus, or it looked like they might have had the virus, and so they just said that it was a COVID death. But really, 90% of those reports were false. And who is it that's behind that? That's wanting to give people this this feeling of panic that there's really something out there. And again, to reiterate one of the first points is that there was a 400,000 flu cases disappeared entirely from that 2019 to 2020. So. Who's behind this? Who told all these morticians and coroners and doctors to say that these were all deaths from coronavirus when they weren't? And how are they all in on it? Something has to be happening behind the scenes. It cannot be a random coincidence. CNN, even CNN reports from the CDC that there have been many disasters when a vaccine has been rushed through development without testing. And they even say it would be colossally stupid. This is from September 1st, 2020. Imagine, notice how quickly the story changed from September 2020 to December 2020. Now we're being told in April of 2021 that this untested vaccine is something that we have to have, all of us, no matter what, in order for life to return to normal. So from 6 months, the vaccine went from colossally stupid to something you must have. This is a perfect example of what I was talking about before, hypernormalization, and the story changing, and as if our intellect is being insulted or assaulted, such that anybody who does remember these things has the burden of telling other people, like I'm doing right now, and it's a big burden. It weighs down your mentality. So how much how much can we trust Johnson & Johnson and these other companies with this colossally stupid rushed vaccine? It turns out these companies have a huge history of lying to people about what they're doing, about what they're making, about the danger of their products. Johnson & Johnson had asbestos in baby powder for a very long time, and they knew about it, and they knew that they were giving babies cancerous materials, and they did nothing about it. And meanwhile, you know, Moderna, this company, is primarily concerned about their stock sales, not about human lives, among other issues with Moderna. Pfizer has also been a habitual offender, persistently engaging in illegal and corrupt marketing practices. And they have been assessed $3 billion in criminal convictions, civil penalties, and jury awards. These companies are verifiably not trustworthy on these subject matters. What about the side effects? Here is a listing from computerized tomogram testing with reports from various people. I'll read one of them for you. Approximately 16 hours after receiving the first Moderna COVID vaccine, I became dizzy, could not lie down, and felt nauseous, felt unsteady and weak, taken to urgent care facility where my blood pressure registered 200 over 100. I was given nitroglycerin and an aspirin and taken by ambulance to the nearest hospital where I spent 2 nights. Monday morning, I found my father lying on the couch trying to tell me he couldn't walk. His speech was slurred. He fell and was unable to walk. His body was pulling to one side. His left arm was numb. He was diagnosed with a stroke. 3 days after the first shot, I suffered a stroke. You know, so these are not, these are obviously associated with the vaccine. And obviously these are, you know, severe issues. And also these are blood clotting issues, which we'll probably hear more about later. So verifiably, the companies can't be trusted. And these products are giving people awful symptoms like that are life-threatening. Here's a listing of the coronavirus vaccine adverse reactions from the UK government report. You know, those are 2,000 blood disorders, 1,000 cardiac disorders, hearing disorders, eye disorders, general disorders, nervous system disorders, and the tens of thousands of people. These are confirmed across all countries and all versions of the vaccine. And here's the vaccine adverse event reporting system, showing that between Pfizer and Moderna, that there's still, at the very top of the list, people are still testing positive for coronavirus after receiving the vaccine. And then, you know, the headaches, 40,000, 20,000, pyrexia, I don't know what that is, but it's, you know, 39,000, 26,000. And then from both of them, there's 30,000 deaths. Otherwise, it's interesting to notice that between the two vaccine variants, there's a very wide variance in the different symptoms people are getting. Now, if that indicates, from a basic logical perspective, that they're not the same vaccine. If you're retreating the same virus, why would you give two different vaccines, and why would there be competing vaccines? This gets back to the very first thing I started with, that the CDC has no isolated specific particle for what coronavirus is. And then you have to, from that, you have to wonder, well, if they're not treating a specific coronavirus and both companies are making a different product, what is their real intention with the vaccine? What did they intend it to do? This is from the FDA, the Safety Surveillance of COVID-19 Vaccines. This is the working list of possible adverse outcomes, autoimmune disease, deaths, pregnancy, and birth outcomes. That means that it kills your baby, anaphylaxis, stroke, like we've seen, Kawasaki disease, and a bunch of stuff that you just a grab bag of random awful things can happen to you from taking this, for which, like I also stated, you have no legal recourse. It's like they can legally poison you if they want to with this grab bag of random allergic side effects, nobody knows. Do you even know what's in the vaccine? No, you don't. It's a proprietary information. Here's the Health of Canada's Moderna summer report that patients are experiencing palsy. Palsy, meaning that your part of your body goes limp and it becomes unusable. How is that in any way better than just having the coronavirus? The coronavirus is like the flu, but you take a medicine for it and you lose functionality in part of your body. So what about the United States Marines? Do we have to vaccinate our fighting men and women? And 40% of the Marines have so far declined to take it. That means 60% have taken it, so that means 60% of the Marines are going to have palsy. How can that be good for the country? But apparently some of these Marines are on some of the stuff I'm telling you. They don't believe the story either. And here is the Danish vaccine chief fainting after having her vaccine on live television. And they were announcing that they're permanently banning one of the versions of the vaccine, which is causing blood clots, just like the Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna vaccines are. She's fainting. She's on live television after taking the virus. What otherwise healthy woman, what more warning do you need? And back to the earlier point, for a pandemic, there has been virtually no change in the annual rate of death in the United States since the beginning of the pandemic in 2020. And for this 0.02% change in the rate of death, all of society has been upended, having to wear masks, shut things down, huge panic, constantly talking about it on television, scaring people, all of the fear, all of the confusion. Now all these people taking these medical treatments from these known mercenary companies, getting palsy and strokes, for what? Because of a 0.02% risk? That's not the definition of a pandemic. And here's, of course, the European database, 5,000 dead, 200,000 injuries. 200,000 people were injured from taking the virus, taking the this vaccine. That's not an effective medical treatment. And here is the image of someone, someone took this and got, I'm not even sure what to call this. A very severe case of hives all over her body. She says on day 15 after taking the Pfizer treatment, came covered in a horrendous itchy rash. And she says she's not going to have her second dose. I think that's a wise decision. And the other, along in the column of other verifiable information that you should know, vitamin D is a treatment for the coronavirus. And it seems like all, and the numbers show that all of the people who die from coronavirus had a vitamin D deficiency. 80% of hospitalized COVID patients are deficient in vitamin D. 97% of COVID patients who end up in ICU or dead are deficient in vitamin D. Where do you get vitamin D? From going outside. So isn't that exactly the opposite of what you... Isn't a lockdown exactly the opposite of what you'd want? If you wanted to treat someone who needed vitamin D? Virtually nobody has died of COVID who is truly sufficient in vitamin D. And yet, the best way of getting vitamin D going outside is what we're told not to do. I said, these are glaring contradictions, glaring absurdities in this entire story. And these things are, these are verifiable facts. These are the most verifiable facts in the entire issue. And yet, of the people who are still pressuring you to take this vaccine, none of it is allowed to be discussed, and all of it is considered a conspiracy theory or misinformation. You have to ultimately decide whether or not you think these things are true, or if the CDC, FDA, the image of the Danish vaccine chief fainting is all just a fantasy. Now you know where I stand.